Choose all the verses, and I hope most of you already gone through it. But I want to take one point out of the whole week's sharing, trying to fellowship a little bit on Christ crucified, become God's power and God's wisdom, and because there's so much to cover, and I beg Brother Dick to forgive me, cannot cover everything. It's just too rich and too much for 1 week's message. And also, there are a lot of verses. I'm not going to touch on all of them, but just for references. First of all, let's read a few verses together. The first one I want to read is 1:9. This is the verse I want to spend a few minutes on. Let's read it together. God is faithful, through whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now verse 10. Now I beseech you, brothers, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be attuned in the same mind and in the same opinion. For these two verses, we can see in verse 9, there's one key word. And Brother James fellowship last week regarding two pairs. And here there's one key word is fellowship. And we were all called into the fellowship of his Son. And we all, you know, very familiar with the term fellowship. Is partakers and also be enjoying the same portion with each other. That's why following verse 9, and Paul immediately to speak, he will beseech us to have this kind of fellowship. Because with a different mind, different speaking, different thoughts, different opinions, which has will cause disruptions to enjoy that same fellowship. So this fellowship opening up is within our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in Him only, we enjoy all the riches, even with all the utterances, or even the wisdom the Lord gave to His church. We all partaking the same fellowship. That's why in verse 10, Paul immediately pointed out the problems we are not enjoying the same fellowship is because the different minds, different speakings, and different opinions. And I believe in the church in New York City, we have the same mind. We have the same speaking, and we have the same opinion. And here on verse 10, in verse 10, there's one word I enjoy very much. Is attuned. Is attuned. And here we know it's also in different places meant to be mending, to repair and restore. But here the attuned, for all of you, for some of you know music better. You know, I'm illiterate with the music, okay? I can sing, but I cannot read. Yeah. I only know it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And if you give me the classical lines with the different commas, reverse the commas, that's how I read. It's I'm totally out of tune. Yeah. If you ask me to read the music, that tune will be horrible. last night, a sister is mentioning, you know, you sang the hymn several places out of tune. I said, bear with me, because I cannot be tuned in that way. So this attune, you know, for here is more like a symphony orchestra. Symphony orchestra is to be tuned to that master, whatever, violin. I don't know how you call it. The concert master, all right. Everyone knows that. Yes, with tuned to the concert master. That's all tuned. Doesn't matter if it's your trumpet or you're a drummer, or you're a violinist, you're a pianist, you all need to be attuned to that concert master. But in order to be attuned, we had to be pruned. Because to prune away all the differences, you're just copying Brother James. This could be one pair, huh? Tuned, attuned, and also pruned. To prune away all the differences, and that we will become as one symphony orchestra. So for here, I want to go on. And this is a part. Let's read it on. 11, 12, and 13. For it has been made clear to me concerning you, my brothers, by those of the household of Chloe, that there are strifes among you. Now I mean this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was a Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized into the name of Paul? But here, Paul immediately pinpoint out where the problem is. When I first read First Corinthians, when I become a new believer, I was thinking, this household of Chloe is a troublemaker. They are reporting on the church of Corinth. They were making small reports to Paul, say, hey, Brother Paul, they have strifes. Now, and Paul mentioned here, it's written in the Bible. Okay? This household has great concerns for the saints in the church in Corinth. And also has great concerns for the leading ones. For the leading ones. You know, if for a new believer like myself, if I say something, I am of Paul. And another new believer say, I am of Cephas. It won't cause too much a wave. But here, obviously, the church was causing the some saints causing strifes. Obviously, they're not probably not two new believers. Even though the church in Corinth was a relatively still a young church, if we say. But here, for saints saying this shows saints have preferences. These days, the world is renowned to make unique things. That uniqueness will cause you to take preferences. iPhone 6S just came out. A lot of people are fans of Apples. They call Apple fans, huh? But some people may prefer other cell phones. Those are preferences. Those are easy things. But come to the church life, if we take on preferences, we prefer certain things. In the political world, they have differences. I prefer this party, that party. That's called a partisans. Here, if we take a preferences in the church, you will see quote-unquote, spiritual partisans as well. So here, Paul, the first problem he pinpoint is the strifes among the saints. Brothers and sisters, in the church, we are all called. We are all called out. And we are all calling on the name of the Lord. And we are all sanctified. And we are sanctified saints. And we are called into the same fellowship of our Lord Jesus Christ. That fellowship, even though most of the time has to go through people, go through saints, but we cannot take any saints above our Lord Jesus Christ. Because our fellowship is in the Son of our God, in the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read 18. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So here Paul began to prescribe. He diagnosed the first disease, if we say, or the first symptom, and then he began to prescribe the medication. Here the medication is our Lord and his cross. The foolishness of God was the best medication for this problem. The strife among the saints for the preferences, because they have a lot of freedom. Many times the freedom, the roaming around in your mind or in everywhere, give you the liberty to choose and to prefer. Brothers and sisters, the cross nailed our Lord. Our Lord's experience is he had no freedom. I want to emphasize on this point. Our Lord is our God. He was incarnated to become a man. He lost not only, he put off his Godhead not only. He lost, he has to constrain all his power, put the infinite God into that finite man. I don't know how to express it. You just imagine. He is our God, and he become a lowly man. He become even a slave. He has to put off everything. He has the all right to own, to exercise, to use, to boast. He can do everything he wants. But he put off all of those. And his only preference is to follow what the Father speaks, what the Father's will, and what the Father wants to do. Even this one, when he grew up in the family, he had a lot of siblings. He grew up in a poor family. And he could do anything he wants if he exercised his Godhead, exercised his divinity. No, he put off all of those, willingly, joyfully go through the human living. He had no preferences. Brother Nee had one message. He's talking about the power of choice. There, speaking, our Lord had 7 opportunities. He could choose to do otherwise, but he did not. He led a life. He led a human life, human living, to be fully constrict, to be fully submissive to the will of God. The whole human living was to carry out what the Father's will. Brothers and sisters, this is our Lord. This is a foolishness. If a human being has the capacity, has the power to do something in the world, I think most of the time they will do it. And also there's one quote from Brother Nee. He said, "The maturity in life is to not to do what you are capable to do." If we use this quote to measure our Lord, he had the capacity, the power, the rights, everything he could, and he can do anything he wants, but he did not. Brothers and sisters, this is the human living our Lord went through. Yet, if you think the end will be glory before the cross, since he already done everything, no, he has to go through all the 9 yards to be even crucified on the cross. Brothers and sisters, when I became a Christian before, I was considering this was foolishness. I heard the gospel a couple of times before I became a Christian. Not only I bluffed it off, I said, this is just stupid.
You're talking about a man get nailed on the cross. You want me to believe him? If he was a hero, he was a macho man. And he, you know, grew up in China, we always admire revolutionists. If he led us to do a revolution, to overthrow all the worldly power, I will follow him. To follow this person, such a weak one, to be nailed on the cross, and you want me to follow him? No way. Brothers and sisters, this is the Lord I'm following today. Not only his foolishness became my foolishness, it became your foolishness too. Why are we here today? Why are we singing praises after praises for this one who was crucified? We're praising for his blood, praising for the water flow out. Brothers and sisters, this is the foolish one to be put on a foolish execution and become the wisdom to us. Brothers and sisters, just going through these verses, I was thinking to do more, but just going through these verses put me in tears. This is my Lord. This is our Lord who was crucified. Paul was well educated. He grew up in a famous city. He was well educated, not only in religious education. He was educated in philosophy. He was educated in all cultural background. He can teach the Corinth better philosophy than they were already taught. Yet he did not. When he came to Corinth, he said, let's read on. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the understanding of those who understand are set aside. Let's keep going. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made the wisdom of the world foolish? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the preaching to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews require signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Brothers and sisters, this is what Paul, when he entered into Corinth, the situation was not that pleasing. When God appeared, our Lord appeared to him in vision, said, do not be silent, and take courage, and keep speaking, because there are so many of my people in this city. You would think Paul would preach even wiser things to them. No, he did not. He began to preach the foolishness in the sight of those wise Corinthians, to begin to preach the crucified Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is where the gospel today, when we talk about all different aspects of the gospel, this is the rudimentary, this is the foundation of the gospel we need to preach. Sounds foolish, yet it's the wisdom of God. Sounds weak, but it's the power of our Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is where Paul began his preaching in Corinth. And for most of people, when we talk about this very basic and fundamental things, sometimes we just very quickly go through it. Just say, yeah, our Lord was crucified. Brothers and sisters, every Lord's Day, when we see this table, what was going through our mind? This is not only a display of the crucifixion, not only a display for the blood flow out, display of the body broken. We're enjoying the feast here, but this is also the wisdom and the power of our God displayed here. Because all his purpose, all his desire, all his economy is being displayed on this table. His broken body, his flowing blood, the gushing out of the water is all for the purpose of today. Today his church is here. The church here to manifesting his wisdom and his power. And Paul mentioned, by wisdom, we are not many are wise here. By strength, most of us are pretty weak. Many saints can become sick, become weak. But yet, our Lord, he is our wisdom. He is our power. Amen. Let's keep reading more. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For consider your calling, brothers, that there are not many wise according to flesh, not many powerful, not many well-born. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world, that he might shame those who are wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world, that he may shame the things that are strong. That the low-born things of the world, and the despised things God has chosen, things which are not, that he might bring to naught the things which are, so that no flesh may boast before God. But of him we are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom in us from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, as it is written, he who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we many times consider, well-born. A lot of times the people in the world want to become, why I was not born in a better or well-off or better-off family. I grew up in poverty. I know what's a low-born. I don't even tell you how poor that condition was. I mentioned this maybe once to Jerry, that he was laughing. That was humiliating, wasn't it? But lowborns, brothers and sisters, we're not saying any wellborns cannot walk into the church. No. It is the consideration. Because here, our Lord is demonstrating to us through himself. If our Lord was born in, according to those magis, he was born in Jerusalem, born in the palace, a rich family. That's those magis were thinking. A king of the Jews, where would he be born? Who would imagine he'll be conceived in a lowly virgin? Who would imagine? But at that time, they have to travel to Bethlehem to give birth. Who would imagine? There's not even a single room left for our Lord to be born. Who would imagine? They have entered into a manger, to be born in a manger. I think a lot of you were born in a hospital or a midwifery or somewhere. Once I was asking my mother, I said, where was I born? And she said, yeah, in this house. I won't describe you how bad a condition that house was. I said, how did you cut my biblical cord? And she said, with that scissor, burn a little bit on the kerosene light. I said, wow, you even knew how to sterilize the scissors. And she said, I just cut. There you were. I said, oh, praise the Lord. Our Lord was born even lower than I was. I was born in a in a house occupied by human beings. He was born in a place occupied by livestock. I was born, even though not in a bed, in northern China, that's called a cow. I don't know how you call that. It's a build with almost like a mud. And our Lord was born. I don't know how Mary cut that cord. Wrapped up in a cloth and placed in a trough. Talk about who is well-born. We all are. Who is low-born? From our Lord, we all are. Brothers and sisters, never compare ourselves with anybody. This is where the strife, the preferences rooted, is by comparison. By comparing your background, your preference, your utterance, your wisdom, your education, your occupation, anything you feel yours is better than others, will sooner or later cause strife. I used to be a proud man too. But the Lord, His cross, knows where to cut, knows where to draw that cross. So brothers and sisters, through these verses, we really need to become humble before our Lord. Before His speaking, Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse all my preferences in my mind. Cross away whatever I feel I'm better than others. Brothers and sisters, the church is where the cross is placed. When we walk into that door, even though we don't have a physical cross, there is the experience of the cross once we enter into the household of our God. The cross will cross away every differences. If it's not today, it will be in the coming days. If it's not in the coming days, it will be in the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, you cannot bring the differences into the New Jerusalem. That's for sure. And even in the kingdom or in the outer darkness, that's where you may be continue to be crossed out. I pray to the Lord, Lord, give me mercy. I don't have to leave those things until that day. Brothers and sisters, here we see the three aspects again. Our Lord becomes wisdom from God to us. Read that 30. Become righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Here the righteousness from the book of Romans, we read a lot on the word of righteousness. Here's the righteousness is our Lord became righteousness on our behalf. And by believing, baptized into Him, and His righteousness becomes our righteousness. So this is to terminate our past, to cleanse our past, to place us everything not of Him on the cross. So here the cross stops, terminates everything for our past. And then moving on to our soul. This is once we believe in Him, we are regenerated. And His righteousness becomes our righteousness. This is a regeneration in our spirit. Now the second point is sanctification is in the soul. We are sanctified once. We are called out to be saints. Brother James mentioned last week on these two points. And we are experiencing the daily walk in the sanctification. This sanctification is by His Spirit and also through His crucifixion. Because the sanctification, that process being sanctified, it is pruning away. It's a pruning away, chopping off, transforming, cleansing, correcting, adjusting. All those things are not pleasing to God. So the sanctification, this is the salvation of the soul. And our brother keep mentioning the trichotomy in the past year. Is we need to know that our soul, the salvation of the soul, is the crucial element. All the strifes came from the fighting of the souls. Brothers and sisters, here the sanctification, including all those strifes, all the problems, including also on fighting, suing each other, and also later on those denying the resurrection, and all of those, brothers and sisters, are all in this soulish mind. In chapter 2 and chapter 3, we will see more on the soul, the spirit, and the flesh. But here we can see, brothers and sisters, the wisdom of God is for our sanctification, for our salvation of the soul. Lastly is the redemption. Of course, that's for our body. So we can see in the future, our body will be transfigured. So here in our spirit, we are regenerated instantaneously. In the future, our body will be transfigured instantaneously. But this in between, this is where the practicality of the church life kicks in. We need to be sanctified and go through the sanctification. In the book of Romans, we see a lot of doctrines. We see a lot of truth teaching. We see many very enjoyable aspects. But in the book of 1 Corinthians, because this is talking more, emphasizing more on the practice or practicality of the church life, you begin to see a lot of things are creeping in. So the church in Corinth is not an atypical church. It is a typical, abnormal church. So to us, this is a warning sign, and also is a sort of like a type of today's practical church life. Brothers and sisters, we do need to pray more in this aspect. Lord, not only you saved me, but I need to be saved continuously. You need to be my moment by moment salvation, because I need to be sanctified all the time. When we think about other saints, how many times you are so pleased, even smiling, say, praise the Lord for that saint. I don't know how many saints in your mind or in your prayer, when you think about them, you say, Lord, bless that brother. Or if you think about some saints, you say, Lord, why do you save him? Why do you bring him into the church life? Lord Jesus, since I'm here, would you kick him out? Lord, when I pray for him, my heart aches. It's not that kind of a Lord save him, that kind of ache. That kind of ache, say, Lord, would you do something to him? Since all these thoughts cause us not to have the same mind. When we express, we have different opinions. Sometimes, even though we say the same things, the same utterances, but within us, we might be very different. We might be thinking different things. Sometimes human beings are very good at hiding things. Hiding. I was one of them, very guilty. But the Lord had mercy, transforming, sanctifying, becoming more and more transparent. Or become a little more transparent. Brothers and sisters, this is where the transformation process needed to work within. So today, within us, even though we don't talk too much about the physical cross or the cross, the suffering of the cross, because the cross is the deadly execution. It's not to make us suffer that much, not to make us talk about the cross, but to really to be nailed, terminated by the cross. So the cross is not to cause us to suffer, but it is to terminate us. Michael, you are terminated. So today, this week, we have the verse from Galatians 2:20. I didn't choose that verse. It says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Because I have been crucified with Christ. When our Lord was crucified on that cross, you and I, even though you may be older than me, but we are all several thousand years old, we are all being crucified on that cross. On that cross, not only our Lord, but you and I, the world, everything with it, Satan, everything with him, or with it, all being crucified on that cross. Brothers and sisters, now today, this crucified Christ becomes the wisdom to us from God. Now today we are saved, we are regenerated, and in the future we'll be transfigured to be glorified. And today it is the operation of the cross in his spirit within us to operate within us, to cleanse, to chop off, to cut, you imagine your experience. Many times you will say, Lord, leave me alone. Just leave me alone for 30 minutes. Let me hate. Let me complain. Let me groan for 30 minutes. How about that? Brothers and sisters, this is our situation. This is my situation from time to time. I believe we are all the same, right? Because we are all being put together. And now today, we are being put into the same mold, being conformed into his image. In order to be conformed into the image of his glory, first we need to be molded, put into the image of his death. This is where the power of the cross is. Brothers and sisters, no matter how much we talk on this cross, you can see it is for the purpose of the full salvation. Our body, our soul, and our spirit. Whoa, time flies. Let's read a little more on the 1 Corinthians 4:1-2, because Brother James read these two verses last week. I want to refresh with that reading. A man should account us in this way, as a servants of Christ and a stewards of the mystery of God. Here, therefore, it is sought in stewards that one be found faithful. Mystery of God and a faithful stewards. The faithful stewards is dispensing the mystery of God. And we'll read more on Colossians. And yet, let's go on chapter 3. While Paul is trying to encourage the saints in Corinth, put off anything other than Christ. Everything else is not belong to our Lord. Our Lord is the only thing they should treasure at this point. So as stewards to dispensing the mystery of God, or even those leading brothers in the church in Corinth, they should all become faithful stewards to dispense the mystery of God. The mystery of God is Christ. So here Paul again charge those saints, I believe particularly the leading ones. Let's read it again. 3. So then,
Let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. All are yours, but you are Christ, and Christ is God. Brothers and sisters, here the sequence is very clear. Christ is God's, and we are Christ's. Everything else should be annullified. Everything else has been annullified on the cross. And today, the only thing we should know is this dear Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. We are His, He's ours, and He's God's, and God is ours. This is where we are called into the fellowship of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the fellowship we should have with each other. Amen. Let's continue. 2 Corinthians 5, 16, 17. This is this week's verse. So then we, from now on, know no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him so no longer. So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, they have become new. When we boast, we have something to boast. I labor a lot on campuses. And many times I study the different universities, different campuses. I found that there's one thing very interesting. Every university or colleges, they will claim they have something to be number one in the nation. You know it. Even a community college, they can classify according to their standards to pinpoint one or two things. They are highly ranked. If not number one, at least number 25. One day I was thinking, this is just like a typical human beings. Because everybody wanted to show off or to say something better than others. That's what Paul at the beginning talked about. You are enriched in Christ, not lacking any utterance and wisdom. But later, when Paul was using the same two terms, he began to, you know, tell the Corinthians, hey, come on, humble yourself. And here Paul said, again, if we boast, don't boast in anybody. He who boasts should boast in Him and in Him only. Not in me, not in yourself. Because we have everybody, if you classify yourself, you will have something better than others. Maybe many points better than others. If you boast in those, we are boasting in flesh. We are boasting at most in our wisdom. Brothers and sisters, I met a brother yesterday who was a very, very haughty guy. He was probably, I don't know, Brother Timothy is here. He's probably, you know, when I look at him, he's probably this tall. He's a, looks like a bodybuilder. Whoa, brother. He was probably Michael's height. He's a big, chunky brother. I said, do you do bodybuilding? He said, a little bit. I said, this is not a little bit. You know, you're bodybuilding, but he's huge. I mean, not like this part of huge. He's really huge. I was looking at him and said, wow, brother, you are strong. You know, he can boast in his strength. He said, I'm as strong as a bull. But yeah, you are as strong as a bull. So what? Brothers and sisters, we can boast in many, many things. But is your boast in Christ? Are you and I, we are boasting, we are a new creation. Brothers and sisters, we need to be really, really just talk about our Lord. If we boast,
we boast in our Lord. Paul even said, I boast in him about my weakness. But I don't know how many of you just maybe sometimes say, how are you, Jared? I say, oh, you know, not too good. You know, I got this, I got that. Not too good. That's not boasting your weakness. I mean, sometimes our boasting can become our, you know, even our humbleness can become our boasting, can become our pride. How come? You know it. I know it. Brothers and sisters, the cross. There's no other way. The cross our Lord experienced. That's the prescription. That's the prescription for all of this. And take it, and you will be cured. But it's not once for all. You have to keep taking it. You know, many of you take a vitamin every day, right? Some of you need to take a medication every day. If you skip one, sometimes it's not that good. So this Christ crucified, God's power and God's wisdom, this prescribed medication, we need to take it all the time. Not a daily regimen. All the time. Brothers and sisters, this is where we need to turn to our spirit. To exercise. Lord Jesus, my mind is wandering away again. Praise you, Lord, for that brother. When I think about him, Lord, praise you for this brother. Saints, we do need to unceasingly pray. While you're traveling, you're commuting, you're in your job, your family life, your kids giving a hard time, what can you do? The prescription is here. But it's not to say, Lord, I have to suffer, I have to be patient, I have to... No, all of those things doesn't work. You know it. It doesn't work. Lord, make me patient. Lord, don't let me lose my temper. Lord, oh, my kid gave me a hard time, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord. Lord, help me. Would you stop? I have done that to my kids. I don't know if you have done that to your kids. Sometimes they say, Lord Jesus. Whoa. So, outward suppressing yourself really doesn't work that well. We really need to turn. Lord Jesus, I'm a nobody. Thank you for your cross. Thank you for your crucifixion. Thank you for crucifying myself with you. Thank you, Lord, my keys were all crucified with you. Thank you, Lord, for my dear keys. They are your children too. Praise you, Lord, for them. After your prayer, and then you go talk with them, you will be different. You will be different. Give yourself maybe 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds. Pray before the Lord, before you talk with another saint, before you talk with a brother, before you talk with your family members, before you talk with your boss. You see what happens. Brothers and sisters, this is very practical. Praise the Lord. Let's continue. We can finish. In Colossians, you can see here Paul again. Corinthians, First Corinthians and Colossians. Brother Nee once mentioned these are sister books. I cannot find that quote, but I knew it somewhere. He said that this is sister books because the First Corinthians is the practicality of Christ and his cross. Colossians is exalting Christ to be everything to us. So here, let's read this portion of Colossians. I now rejoice in my sufferings on your behalf, and I fill up on my part that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship of God, which was given to me for you to complete the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known
What are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we announce, admonishing every man and beseeching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man full grown in Christ, for which also I labor, struggling according to his operation, which operates in me in power. So here is Paul's desire through his suffering, through his service, through his stewardship, through his faithful laboring. Want to present the saints full grown in Christ. Even for this, he labored, even struggling according to the operation in him in power. And we know this power is our Lord. Our Lord is operating in Paul. So he can be sustained. He can be rejoicing even in this suffering, in this laboring, in his stewardship. Brothers and sisters, today in our church life, we need saints. We need you and I to all become this kind of stewards, to serve in this kind of stewardship, even suffering afflictions, but with joy. Even laboring, struggling, but with joy, with the enjoyment of our Lord. Our saints in the church in New York City not only will be flocking in, but will be also to be conformed to be this kind of serving ones. Brothers and sisters, today this is what we need, to go through all of those, to become replications of our Lord, to be replications of the stewards like Paul. Praise the Lord. That's last portion. Philippians. But moreover, I also count all things to be lost on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. On account of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is out of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is out of God and based on faith, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if perhaps I may attain to the outer resurrection from the dead. Brothers and sisters, here is Paul's desire, heart desire, is to have the outer resurrection. And also today, he desired to be found in him. When saints see Paul, they found him in Christ. This is his desire. This should become our desire too. And also to know our Lord and the power of his resurrection. So the cross is to terminate. The power of our Lord is in his death and in his resurrection. And we will cover more on the resurrection part, particularly in chapter 15. This is the longest portion to talk about our Lord's resurrection. So today I'm going to touch on this point, because the power of our Lord is not only his death, that's the negative side, to terminate us, to terminate all the negative things, Satan and his associates, and the world and its associated things. But we need the resurrection. Brothers and sisters, the death and the resurrection, to make our Lord today, to become the life-giving spirit. That life-giving spirit, that triune God, gone through all the processes, now become the indwelling triune God. Our Lord, in his spirit, or through his spirit, is indwelling within us. So the death and the resurrection, or the power and the wisdom, is not outward, is within. Of course, he is outside, but he is within. So this within, again, this is our brother mentioned, the twofoldness of the truth, and also the experiences.
There's so many aspects we need to re-examine the twofoldness within and without. The life-giving spirit with the cross and the resurrection is not only without, but is within. Within our spirit. Today's the sanctification process is this spirit. It's trying to permeate, trying to soak, invade our soul, invade our mind, invade our emotion, invade our will, to transform us to be just like he is. Brothers and sisters, today, actually, all the words can be, you know, you can forget whatever I say, but pay attention, brothers and sisters, to Christ crucified, Christ resurrected. Today, this life-giving spirit is within us. Now today, he's working out our full salvation. Not only regenerated us, not only will glorify us, but today is sanctifying us. Because through his death and resurrection, he already sanctified us judicially. He already regenerated us through his death judicially. But today, we really need to experience what he has accomplished organically. This is where the salvation of the soul will kick in. Brothers and sisters, all the problems in Corinth is in the soul and the flesh. It's not in the spirit yet. Of course, in the resurrection part, they were being distracted. But all the problems you can see is in the soul and in the flesh. So this is today is really reminding us or even warn us to be exercise our mingled spirit. Let that mingled spirit to occupy, to invade, to really take over our mind, our emotion, and our will. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know what to do next.
I want to share something.
Okay.
Let's all stay together because we do have the language translations. I want to share just a little bit. Yeah. Maybe we can have the microphones ready. So I'm only going to say a few words. I'm only going to say a few words because what afterwards. You can come forward for the sharing. Okay, we'll be all staying together.
Amen.
I'm very happy that that our brother shared this morning from 1 Corinthians 1-3, and then to Colossians and to Philippians. If you can project chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brothers, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, that you be attuned in the same mind and in the same opinion. Now, our brother mentioned this word attuned actually is also translated as mended, to mend. In the Gospels, it was mentioned that James and John, they were with their father who mend the nets. So that's the same word, okay? But it is not used that you be mended in the same mind and in the same opinion, but rather it is translated or rendered as attuned in the same mind and in the same opinion. I think this is extremely important because there are many things to say, but our brother mentioned using symphony as the picture. In other words, Paul was writing to them, said, you be attuned as in a symphony. In a symphony, usually at the beginning of the symphony, it is usually attuned to the concertmaster. And usually, in fact, before the conductor comes in, the concertmaster tunes so everybody can attune to it. Now, what does it mean? It means this word, attuned, is not used in a solo recital. It is in a symphony, okay? But it used the word that they be attuned in the same mind and in the same opinion. So let me put it slightly differently in this word, in this verse. What Paul is saying here, I mean, of course, he's talking about the oneness in the church in Corinth. But this verse tells us oneness is not sameness. Amen. Please notice this. This is very important. Because in our view, when somebody is not, say, the same thing, or even the same tone, in the same, not only the vocabulary, the same same manner, the same, what you call the high and the low, and the pitch and so on. If anyone says anything little different from you, you think that they are off the standard, so they are not one with you. Okay. Actually, to say attuned in the same mind and in the same opinion means this word describes this is a crowd. This is a company, more than one instrument, more than one kind of instrument. It is not a quartet of the string section, but it includes all the instruments. And all the instruments need to be attuned in harmony. So oneness, let me repeat this again, oneness is not sameness. This is so very important. Because in our narrowness, in our smallness, we always think if anyone is different from me, from my kind of a special way, they are not one with me. Actually, that's not the standard. Okay, now, so therefore, I think this verse, to me, it's not to say mended in the same mind, in the same opinion, but it's attuned in harmony, in the same mind, and the same opinion. Okay, now let's also read verse 26. I thought, verse 26, I actually never thought about this until our brother spoke this morning. He said, for consider your calling, brothers. There are not many wise according to flesh, and not many powerful, not many well-born. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world that he might shame those who are wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world that he might shame the things that are strong. But let's just stay on verse 26. For consider your calling, brothers, that there are not many wise according to the flesh. He did not say there is no wise according to the flesh, and no powerful, no well-born. Actually, if we just be honest to ourselves, none of us consider we are not wise. Maybe others are not wise. Now, you may not wise objectively, but subjectively you think you are wise. So therefore, he said, we are not the same, because we all think we are not the same, because others are not as wise as I am, others are not as powerful as I am, others are not as well-born as I am. In other words, what Paul is saying is that we are not all the same.
Right.
Yes, we are not all the same, but that is not measured by our IQ or whatever. They have the IQ, the EQ, whatever. There are several Qs, right? And but we are not all the same. But the point is this. The point is that we're all very different, but we are one.
Amen.
Okay? Now, so if we... So I was thinking about it. Who is the concert master? Who is the conductor? Okay? You know, it is very interesting because in Ephesians chapter 4, can you project those few verses? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. I thought I was very, because there I want to bring out who is the concert master. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, I the prisoner in the Lord, to walk worthily of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love, being diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. So I thought to myself, how do we all attune to the concert master? So to me, the concert master really is the Spirit. Okay, so if in all occasions in church life, if we all being diligent to attune, to keep the oneness of the Spirit, a oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. And that is the picture of a symphony, or that is the sound of a symphony. Okay, so we're all attuned to the Spirit. Actually, the Spirit is really the concert master. Amen. Whether in a meeting or in a service or in whichever part in the church life, for us to, I mean, in the past I was thinking about how can we be being diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. And now, this morning, this 1 Corinthians 1:10 really enlightened me that we are attuned to the same mind and of the same opinion. And of course, the Lord Jesus is the conductor. And you know, the fact they have so many problems in 1 Corinthians means, it also shows that the oneness is not the sameness. The oneness is the harmony of the functioning of all the members in the body of Christ. And I think if we view that, if we learn that, then we can see we're all saints and we're all being sanctified. that part I think is really so wonderful. And I hope as we continue in the book of 1 Corinthians, we will come to appreciate the sister book is Colossians, because the brother mentioned that, Brother Lee had mentioned at some point that one finishes 1 Corinthians should be Colossians. It's because these two aspects of not only Christ is a solution of all our problems, but Christ is also should be preeminent in our lives. So I think, you know, I hope, well, how should I say it? I hope in getting into the book of 1 Corinthians, it will bring out the richness in the body of Christ. Amen. The richness in the body of Christ is to show that the oneness is not the sameness, but the oneness is the harmony under the concert master and the conductor. And I hope that as we go on in this book, we'll experience more of this. Now, I hope many saints will respond or share what you heard this morning.